You're listening to Discover Hope with Pastor Tom Leake of Hope Bible Church in Columbia, Maryland.
You can't seek God apart from His Word. To seek God is to listen to His Word. To want God is to want the Word. There's no distinction. Many of you have come because of expository preaching. It's the best way to hear the voice of God today, is to hear the Scriptures as it is unfolded in its context. But do you prepare to listen? Do you come with preparation? Do you take notes? Do you sit where you will not be distracted? Do you do those things? Do you meditate while you're hearing? Do you follow up after you've heard?
You're inundated with things in this world to listen to that fill your mind and heart. But as Pastor Tom will remind you today, God should be the most important thing you listen to. Your heart will grow dull and distant from God if you don't listen well. Think deeply about His Word, concentrate on its meaning, and be mentally alert. To receive the sanctifying work of God, you must listen to Him. And as you're listening, the Holy Spirit will illuminate the Word in your heart and help you know how to apply it to your life. Now, here's Pastor Tom in the book of James chapter 1 as he continues his message, How to Listen to God's Word.
Speaking with zeal alone is not godly. We also have to have love and compassion. There are few things which will give your teaching ministry more power, more effectiveness than you learn to love the people you're talking to. You don't want to come across as the professor who looks down his nose at those who don't know all that well. Well, let me instruct you now. You don't want to come across as the foreman who's always scolding bumbling workers. That's not love. You want to be a brother. You're right alongside them. You sit in the same church that they sit in. They're your treasured brethren. You have them in your home. You're in their home. You care about them. You're involved in their lives. And so I get that sense here again from James, and I wanted to bring that out because some of this stuff's going to be hard to hear. So I want you to know this is a man who loves you. Now, I want to interrupt our flow of thought for a minute. I want to give you a couple of technical notes here, okay? Look again at the very beginning of verse 19 for a minute. The Textus Receptus, that is the majority Greek text that the English text is translated from. If you have the King James Version or you have the New King James, it's based on this Textus Receptus. It has the word wherefore there at the beginning of verse 19, not the this you know. Quite a different translation. The greater manuscript evidence, however, points to the use of a verb here, the verb to know, oida. That's why in the NASB, the NIV, ESV, and other modern translations, you see that there. That's one note. Now, another note is this. The form of the verb to know here, because of the way it's written, it could either be a statement, an indicative, or it could be a command, an imperative. It could be know this, or it could be this you know. And you'll find different translations that go that way. Those who take it as a statement usually say it goes with what preceded in verse 18, that material back there. This is the stuff you know. Those who take it as a command usually take it with what follows. Know this, know what, be quick to hear and slow to speak. Honestly, just being honest with you here, it really doesn't make too much of a difference here when you think about the exhortation itself and what we're trying to get at here in our own hearts. It probably is an indicative, and there are a number of reasons for that. I won't give them, but it probably doesn't change the meaning too much one way or another. Anyway, I like to bring that out. I know it's a technical note, but I think most of the time you don't hear anything about a Greek text or a variant reading in the background, and most of the time you don't hear about that. Why? Because most of the time the text is very clear because the New Testament is the best preserved book from ancient times till today, by far, and it's not even close. In other words, this is the exception to the rule, not the rule. The New Testament was supernaturally preserved. Its accuracy back to the original writings, we call those the autographs, is unquestioned in terms of just empirical evidence itself. So once in a while, there's something that's a little hard to determine in the text. We could take comfort from the fact that it is the exception to the rule. We could take greater comfort from the fact that even where there are these slight variations, it never affects any of the teachings of Christianity. It never affects any of the way in which we're supposed to live. So it's absolutely wonderful, the divine preservation of this book to us here today. You ought to be excited about that, that you have a copy of that in your hands. Now, I want us excited about our own Bible reading as well, and so I took time to explain that to you. Back to our regularly scheduled programming here. Be quick to hear. What is this? This is a proverb. This is proverbial. This is wisdom. It was a very common theme among the Hebrews. Be quick to hear. Believe it or not, it was also a common theme for the Greeks. Hearing should be done tachos, quickly. What does that mean? With eagerness to listen. In other words, I want to listen. You can tell I'm alert and I've tuned my ears in and I really want to hear what you're having to say. Your ears are on when someone is speaking. In other words, we say all the time to people, please don't tune out. Instead, what? Tune in. That's what this is saying. Be quick to listen. Listening well is a virtue. When we find somebody in life who's a good listener, that's one of the first things we say about them when we walk away. We talk, you know, so-and-so is a really good listener. It's a virtue, yes? We know it in others. We see it reflected in other people. That's what we're to learn also. Now, I mentioned that the Jews and the Greeks had this wisdom as well. This is not unique to the New Testament. Plato said this, wise men speak because they have something to say. Fools because they have to say something. I like that. Zeno, the Stoic philosopher, is noted for saying, we have two ears and one mouth, therefore we should listen twice as much as we speak. This is true. Modern folks also acknowledge the importance of this virtue. One of our presidents, Calvin Coolidge, says it takes a great man to be a good listener. Larry King, now we don't usually quote Larry King from the pulpit, but certainly it's something he's done before, is a lot of listening. He said, I remind myself every morning, nothing I say this day will teach me anything at all. So if I'm going to learn, I must do it by listening. There's some wisdom in that. Some people today note how poorly, though, people tend to listen. Stephen Covey says, most people do not listen with the intent to understand. They listen with the intent to reply. Ouch. John Wayne, the famous frank-talking Western actor, said when he was scolding someone, you're short on ears and long on mouth. Just the way he could say it. Unfortunately, tons of words are poured out every single day, but only a bucket full of all those words is even truly heard. And sometimes the words that are spoken are our words. We're talking. We want someone to hear us, but we can tell, even if they're listening, they're not really hearing us. True? And oh, for someone just to sit down and listen and at least try to understand. Sometimes church folks have confided in me, you know, I don't really have a close buddy or companion or friend. Well, one reason you don't is there just aren't a lot of people who take time to be a listener. If you would like to stand out from the crowd, here's something anybody out there can do. You can be known as a wonderful listener. And that would make you special and unique just from that alone. But by the way, it may be true that you're not a good listener either. And that's one reason you don't have friends. You have a better chance of acquiring good friends if you yourself become a better listener, true? Take that challenge, try it, work on it the next few months and see what happens. But remember, listening takes hard work. You don't learn to be a good listener overnight because you're not even aware of all the times you're not listening and turning away. And you're like, was I not listening then? I guess I wasn't listening then. And you begin to become aware of that and you realize, I need to work hard on this. Really, it's kind of an art form. It really is. Only some master it. What do? They listen deeply. You could tell they're not just hearing your words, they're listening beyond to what you're feeling, what you're saying, why you're saying that, what you're not saying. Why would you say that now to me here? How much does that mean to you versus something else? Well, I notice when you start to get personal, you always crack a joke and you listen to that. And you can see that that person doesn't want to open up and share themselves. Or you can see some other aspect of their life and they become a certain way. You listen for their spirit inside of them. You listen for whether or not they're being proud or whether or not on the opposite end they're crushed in spirit or they're confused, they're anxious, What are they really asking for when they ask you a question? Skilled listeners are able to put what is said in context. They look at the greater picture, the landscape, what someone is saying, and they hear it there, and they're able to understand what that person is going through in life and be able to talk with them about that. I think that good listening not only involves closing the mouth, as we're going to see here, and opening the ears, obviously we have to do that. It also means that we have to open up our hearts. We have to open up our hearts. You know, I think that body language often betrays bad listening. Sometimes you don't know what's going on in someone's heart, and you're trying to, are they listening to me? Are they hearing me? And, you know, there's Buddy the bad listener, you know, and you're in the foyer, and you're right in front of him, and he's looking at everybody that's passing by. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's talking to, hey, how's it going? And, oh, yeah, yeah. And he's talking to this person and that person, but very rarely connects right there, right? Shoulders are not squared. And then he's got his little electronic device. He's checking it about, what, every 10 seconds, you know? Yeah, uh-huh. And there's just bad listening skills there, isn't it? You could tell he's distant. Even when he looks at you and he smiles and nods, you're like, I don't think he gets a thing I'm saying, you know? You ever tried that crazy thing where you say something astonishing just to see if someone is even listening to you? Yeah, I had a bad week this week. You know, I tried to commit suicide, and it was a rough week, and just to see if they're even listening, right? That really tells whether or not we're listening to one another. Some of you are thinking, that sounds like my husband. Ouch. Others of you are saying, no, that sounds like my teenager. You know, not listening at all to a thing that's being said. Maybe we should take a moment and ask ourselves, what are the culprits for bad listening? Well, one of them clearly is that we're busy. There's no question about that. And often it's not the right time to stop and listen. Often you have to turn to people and say, I've got to do this thing right now. Let me call you. Let me talk to you in a minute, or whatever it is. And we have to be patient with that. We all get busy. But busyness often, you know, I don't have time to talk, and it's more of an excuse because we then don't make time to talk and get back in touch with someone, correct? What's another culprit of bad listening? Isn't it the media? I mean, have you thought about how many times your phone buzzes in a day and how distracting that can be? How important it is to turn that off when you're having a conversation and focus on people. Come on, you got to do some of that if you're going to be a good listener. You can't possibly be checking that and be a good listener. I don't care what you say. I don't care what you say. Well, I could do two things at a time. I don't care what you say. You're not a good listener if you're not squaring your shoulders, you're not looking and turning those things off. Come on, beloved. Let's be real about this. Another thing for not being a good listener is professionalism. We treat people in a professional kind of way. Keep them at arm's distance. We don't really want to listen to them personally, because if we start listening to them personally, then we have to what? We have to actually get involved. And God knows I don't have enough time to get involved, right? No, you don't have enough heart to get involved. You don't have enough heart to get involved. And so we shut down the listening, we treat them professionally, and we keep them at arm's distance. This is what we do. Of course, then there's just lazy selfishness, right? People that want to be heard. Listen to me. No, I got something to say. Listen to me. But then when the other person wants to talk long about the same things, we're like, let me solve that for you and do it real quickly. My wife had to rebuke me on this several times, you know, because I'd be like, Sue, you got to listen to me. I got all of this stuff. I got to talk. And she would just very patiently listen to all of that. And then, you know, it might be the same day. She'd bring something up like, that's nothing. I'll tell you how to solve that. And she said, I just wanted a chance to talk, and I didn't really want a solution. I just wanted someone to talk to. You know, sometimes we have to just look in that mirror and see what's true about ourselves, yes? Are we really good listeners? Do we really have a heart for other people? Do we love other people? See, when we see here, be quick to hear, Scripture really is not just talking about being quick to hear one another. Scripture takes this virtue of listening and raises it up and says, our listening ought to be first and primarily to our God, yes? To our God. Scripture ties our listening first and primarily to God and to our God-given responsibility, to His law, to doing what we're supposed to do. If it is important for us to learn to listen to one another, it is more important for us to learn intently to God. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4, it's even called the Shema, the listening, the hearing. It says, hear, O Israel. First commandment, hear, listen, O Israel. The Lord is our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. And it goes on. Proverbs 19 implores people, listen to my counsel and accept discipline that you may be wise the rest of your days. If you would just listen, so many parents say that, right? If you would just listen, this is meant to bless you. This is going to help you. You think I'm not on your side? Our scripture reading this morning was from Proverbs 1. Wisdom shouts in the street. Why is wisdom having to shout in the street? Because all the simpletons are walking around, nah, 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 nah. I don't want to listen. And wisdom has to lift her voice. And so James means that here in this context too. Be a good listener of God's word. Take his wisdom. And don't speak quickly. Don't speak before you're instructed. That's what he's talking about. By the way, it's the present tense of the command here, and it shows it's a believer's ongoing duty. Be quick to listen and keep on listening. This should characterize the life of you as a disciple of Jesus Christ, that your ears are on all the time to the word of God. Listen, if there's one thing our ears should be quickest to listen to, it is the infallible, all-sufficient, powerful word of God. When it is read, when it is spoken, effort and energy should come out of our body to listen to the word of God. It is not simply the responsibility of the guy in the pulpit to put energy into preaching the word of God. It is your responsibility to put your full intent into listening to the word of God. That's what you're here for. Tune in full frequency for us old timers. Incline your ear. Lean forward in your chair. Put a pen in your hand and notes in your hand. Show that you're interested in the word of God. For God's sake, do that. Is your heart open? Is your mind active? Push out all the thoughts of the things you have to do when you get out of here and concentrate. That's what James means. James knew that these early Jewish believers needed to be quick and eager to listen in their church gatherings, in their worship services to the word of God. The style of worship in that early church was somewhat less formal. It had its formalities, but there were more speakers. They would have prophets and teachers, and they would take turns, and there were many that were involved in teaching. They were usually smaller congregations. By the way, Acts chapter 13 and verse 1 hints at that when it says, there were in Antioch, in the church that was there, prophets and teachers. It goes on to list some of them. Multiple teachers, they would speak. And sometimes because of this, in some of the churches, it would become disorderly. People would want to talk and get their point across, and it would be like that. And folks weren't really listening. They were quick to talk and slow to listen. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26 through 33 gives a more specific insight into how these early church services ran. It speaks of the assembly and things needing to be done in order, and it says you can all speak one at a time. It's referring to the men there, the men that were gifted, and it says you can speak and prophesy, but do it one by one. God is not a God of confusion. He is not the author of that. He is the God of peace. But you know, the Jews could get pretty excited, and he's writing the Jewish believers here, and they could start talking, and they could get passionate about their point of view, and they could be biblical, but they would not listen, and they would not hear that their brother had something good to say as well to balance what they were saying. And they would talk over each other, and they would undercut the work of God in the worship service. They would undercut the work of the Spirit of God. And so this commandment here is meant to counterbalance that talkative trait and give a correction. We need to remember too, in that first century church, that they did not have the full canon of Scripture. They didn't have something like we have in our hands here. They didn't have all of it. And even if they did, which they didn't, but they wouldn't have a copy to take back home and reread to make sure. So their listening was extra special important. This is a letter that was written by Paul to another church, and we happen to have a copy of it now. They were very eager and should be eager to listen. This is the letter of Paul. We haven't heard this before. We didn't have a copy of this before, you see. Nowadays, people can just say, I'm kind of tired. I'm not going to listen today. I'll download it later. And so we excuse our lack of listening. You know, the modern things are a blessing that can also be a curse. You can not listen now, and you could put the thing on later and not listen all that well then too, right? Why? Because you're training yourself not to be a good listener. You're making excuses for yourself not to be a good listener. He talks too long. Oh my goodness, he talks way too long. I can't listen that long. You listen that long when you got your high school and college degrees. You know, we all did, right? 50 minutes, hour, 15 minutes. You can listen this long. So be a good listener. A good disciple means being a good listener to God's word. Disciples are to be like Mary. Remember Mary? Mary of Bethany? Seated there at the Lord's feet, what? Listening to his word. What was Martha doing? Oh, no, she wasn't busy. She was being responsible. She had a lot of things to do, right? I got to go here and get this serving done. In fact, she was so sure of her moral superiority, we'll say it that way, to Mary, that she even corrected the Lord in front of everybody. Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the serving alone? Then tell her to help me. And the Lord said, you know, Mary chose the good part. It's not going to be taken away from her. Listening to the word of God is the highest priority for your life as a disciple in the church. It's the time you're to be most worshipful. It's the time where you're supposed to have your ears on the most. If you're checking out when the word of God is preached, your heart is distant from God. Psalm 119, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. You can't seek God apart from his word. To seek God is to listen to his word. To want God is to want the word. There's no distinction. Many of you have come because of expository preaching. It's the best way to hear the voice of God today is to hear the scriptures as it is unfolded in its context. But do you prepare to listen? Do you come with preparation? Do you take notes? Do you sit where you will not be distracted? Do you do those things? Do you meditate while you're hearing? Do you follow up after you've heard? But are you preparing your ears to listen and hear? The word is what we are to crave, 1 Peter 2, like a baby longing for milk. The Holy Spirit leads us to crave for the word. The Holy Spirit wrote the word. This is the Holy Spirit's word. And as you're listening to his word and he's in your heart, he takes the word he authored and he illumines in your mind the truth for your own self. And he quietly presses that on you for applications to make. But if you're just sitting there as a routine, you'll never know what you're supposed to go and do this week. There are impressions, there is pressure that he puts on your mind and heart for you to respond to him, to respond to God, and he's doing that with the preaching of the word. How important it is for you to hear the voice of the Spirit. So you can see, beloved, this first command here has a lot of weight. Be quick to hear. It has to do with the healthy condition of your soul. I've noticed that when my soul starts to turn dry, why is that? Why has my soul started to turn dry? When I take a little bit of time to reflect and I think about it, what has happened is my desires have gotten caught up with something material, some worldly desire, and I've gone down that pathway in my mind or certain actions. I've let it affect the way I think and my attitude, and I've gone down that little pathway for a while, and the word has just become kind of dull and it's kind of drifted off, and I don't really even have a hunger to get back to the word. And when I repent of that and realize what has happened, there's this renewed desire for me to be in his word all the time. It's not a chore. It's not a chore. It's a delight. Oh, believer, do not be quick to hear all the things that you listen to throughout the week. Quick to hear Facebook and quick to hear all the music you listen to and quick to hear all of the entertainment that you're in and quick to hear sports and quick to hear whatever it is. Why are you so quick to hear that and not quick to hear the word of God? So many think that they've had their fill of the word of God. One good, solid Sunday brunch ought to last me the whole week long. No, beloved. You guzzle in entertainment and music all week long. Where's the word of God for the rest of the week in your life?
Thanks for joining Pastor Tom today on Discover Hope. If you'd like to hear more from this study, you can find additional teachings online now at hopebible.org. We know that this time in our world is uncertain, but one truth remains steadfast. God is in control. During the season, we encourage you to spend time in the Word, in prayer, and in the presence of your Creator. As with many churches across our nation, Pastor Tom and the Hope Bible Church community are holding church online. We'd love for you to join us. Visit hopebible.org to connect to our Sunday worship service at 11 a.m. We look forward to worshiping with you in this way until we can be gathered together as the body once again. We also know how essential prayer is during this time, and we want you to know we're constantly lifting our listeners up to the Lord. Is there anything specific we can be praying about for you? Please let us know by sending an email to hbc@hopebible.org. That's hbc@hopebible.org. Please pray for us too, as well as the leaders of our nation, and especially for those affected by this virus. Discover Hope is a listener-supported ministry. We'd like to offer you the opportunity to be a part of sharing this gospel message. Would you prayerfully consider becoming a financial partner? All gifts are appreciated and used for this ministry. Please visit hopebible.org/radio to find out more and donate securely online. Thank you for supporting Discover Hope in this way. That's all for today. Join Pastor Tom again for another edition of Discover Hope.